As we continue our sermon series on the hard topics in Christianity, today we explore the issue of immigration that is pretty hotly debated around our country and around our world, actually. But I want to thank you first for your continued grace and understanding as we struggle through these hard topics. As we're called to look at things in a new light, not necessarily to change your view, but to offer you other views so that we may better be prepared to share the love of our mighty Savior for all who are God's children. And indeed, each one of us are children of God, for we are all created in His image. And all who have professed Christ as Savior are worthy of that grace that we just shared through that hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. But I also thank you for your continued trust that what I bring to you is theologically founded in the Scriptures, and it does not differ from the position that we have adopted as the United Methodist Church. So as I start in one direction today, we'll come back around to that place where we stand with the Scriptures, where we stand with our position in the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. And found there in your bulletin is the statement from paragraph 162 of the United Methodist Book of Discipline that talks about the rights of immigrants. So paragraph H. So I pray that each of us will be touched by these words that we're about to receive from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 28. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We do not want them here. You know what I mean? We don't want them here taking our jobs, filling up our schools, creating trouble, and doing all of those kinds of things that, you know, that they do. Because they're different than we are. Just not like us. If they want to be here, they should learn our language, they should act like us, and maybe we should just send them all back. Whether they're legal or illegal, send them back to where they came from. They've got their own country. And if we want to make it most simple, we'll just say, if they don't look like us, if they don't act like us, then they should not be here at all. Crack down on those immigration laws. And don't worry about separating families, because it's their fault that they were here in the first place. And that human trafficking that we hear about on the news every once in a while, well, that's somebody else's problem. And those migrant workers that are down the road at that farm, well, you know what? They're nothing more than trouble. Do those comments sound familiar? I know I've heard them. I've heard them in a lot of places. And in some situations, I've heard those from people who call themselves Christians. They say these type of things. I think from a welcoming standpoint, I mean, I've heard it said that we're really a welcoming people. The church is welcoming, and maybe as a country we're welcoming. I mean, hey, if you look like me, if you act like me, if you talk like I do, and you do the things that I like to do, and we have fun together, then come on over to my house, we'll have lunch. We're going to get along just fine. I'm going to welcome you into my house. I'm going to welcome you into my church. I'm going to welcome you into my life. But if any of those things are missing, then I'm going to be a little hesitant. Because, you know, I'm kind of one of those introvert kind of people. I don't like to socialize with a whole lot of people unless things are just right. Regardless of your view today, and I'm not here to change your view, what I'm here is to offer something different. Regardless of what our view is, we must take serious the command to love God with all of our heart and soul and to love our neighbor. And we must stand ready, no matter what it is that we believe, to offer the love of Christ to all of God's children. We hear it in the scripture this morning with Galatians chapter 3, that there's no longer Jew or Greek, no longer male or female, no longer people from any place once we have clothed ourselves in baptism. If we think just for a minute about what it means to be baptized in Christ, when we're baptized, things change. I mean, we're no longer that person we used to be. We become somebody new. We even say that we should envision putting on clothing ourselves with Christ, because we are somebody different. Once we accept Christ in our heart, we acknowledge our baptism, we are somebody different, and we cannot think as we used to think. We must think differently. And when we're baptized, we're invited to be part of something. We're invited to be part of the body. Part of a body that is united, not separated, but a body that is united. And as we look at where we may stand today with our own views, the thing, regardless of where we stand, we cannot deny our past and the way that we came to this point here in this country. The United States has long been a nation of immigrants and migrants. It goes back to the day we first got here. Think about our ancestors. Did we just pop up? Were we created from the earth right here? Did we pop up into this location? Or did our ancestors come from another country to this location? And then, of course, they found those that were already here, the Native Americans. But then we came along. Years of open immigration policy allowed our ancestors to freely come into this place, that they may start new lives in this promised land, almost kind of like a journey that we think of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. But they come to this place with this new promise. They were foreigners in this land, but they built new lives. They were able to worship freely, practice their religion freely. And of course, we know slavery brought people here as well. But it wasn't until much later that policies came into place to regulate immigration. Now, the United Methodist Women, I applaud them. Some years ago, they did put together a program that was aimed at creating communities that would show radical welcoming and build communities that demonstrated hospitality and love for all of God's children, regardless of where they originated from, because there were so many injustices that were being observed then and continue to be observed today. This, of course, is an issue that will be hotly debated in the political arena, in churches, around our dinner tables. People have their own passionate views about where we stand. The motto on the Great Seal of the United States is E Pluribus Unum. While that is not our national motto, which is In God We Trust, that came into place in 1956, the other one means one out of many. Means we become one out of many. Now, it was originally created with the understanding that all these diverse colonies from all over the world, these colonies here in the United States, would become one great nation. But at the same time, that motto, that statement on the seal, the Great Seal of the United States, also implied that we recognize the diversity in the people, regardless of where they come from, and from these many, we will become one. Now think about that implication just for a minute. What is it that we become when we accept Christ in our heart? What is it that we become when we are baptized? We go from the many into the one body. A one body united, One body serving, one body loving, one body forgiving. We're called into service at a new level. As our scripture from Galatians reminds us this morning, that we are different when we put on Christ. We're different when we clothe ourselves in Christ. There's no longer Greek or Jew, no longer male or female. And essentially, we are all God's children. And we're called into this unity rather than into division. And as we do this, we see that we're no longer subject to anybody else other than Jesus Christ. Because that's who we have been baptized in, His name. So essentially, there is no difference. There is no difference in any person because we're all people, all are created in the image of God, all are called into this unity. I want you to think just for a minute. Who is it that created the world? You can answer here if you like. Who created the world? Easy answer. God. God created the world. Who created humankind? God. And here's the trick question. Who created the boundaries of the countries of this world? Man. So God created the world. God created all existence. God created humans, all creation of the world. And then man created the boundaries. I would like to think, we would like to think, that we are better or at least more capable of understanding the difficult issues now, but we struggle. And that's okay, because we're human beings. We're not perfect. We're going to struggle. The only thing that is not okay is that if we fail to try to seek a deeper understanding. We sometimes lose back to the message that's found in the Scripture for us. It's easy to get more deep into the Bible with our Bible study and kind of forget maybe the full context of the Scripture from Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Where humankind, all humankind, every human was created in the image of God. So you see that no matter who we are, I am you, you are me, we are each other. No different than the people outside of this church, because we all, without exception, are created in the image of God. And the sad part about it today, brothers and sisters, is that our comrades in Christ are experiencing horrors that are being carried out against immigrants. Even if they are legal aliens or U.S. citizens, even though because they've come from somewhere else and they went through the proper processes, they still continue to experience these horrors. Battle lines continue to be drawn over the differences. Today, a life that's no different than yours and no different than mine has been impacted by social injustice. But what I also say is, please don't think that I stand here for a moment saying that we do not need policy or law to create order in the management of immigration. Because we do. It was different in the early days when you're not talking about how much of a difference in population there is. So there does need to be something in place to create some organization, and an organization that is fair. And I'll come back to some of that in just a minute, but it has to be a fair organization of how to deal with it. So I don't stand here to tell you that we're not supposed to have a policy or law to address it. I mean, even the Scriptures tell us that we're to subscribe to the law and listen to the leaders of this world. But what I do stand against today is any injustice that is carried out against our brothers and sisters in Christ. I stand against the injustice carried out against our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Book of Discipline, paragraph 162 of the United Methodist Book of Discipline, says that we recognize, embrace, and affirm all persons, regardless of country of origin, as members of the family of God. We affirm the right of all persons to equal opportunities for employment, access to housing, health care, education, and freedom from social discrimination. We urge the church and society to recognize the gifts, contributions, and struggles of those who are immigrants and to advocate for justice for all. So that's what we believe as a church. But even bigger than that, this is an issue that affects people we know and perhaps even people that we love. It affects people who have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior, just like we have. I have a close friend of mine who is of Hispanic descent, who stopped to buy strawberries at a place in this region one day. And he stopped to buy them, went to the front door and walked in, and they told him, "Oh no, you've got to go around back, because that's where the migrant workers come in. You've got to go around back because that's where the migrant worker entrance is." And all I can say is, really? I mean, really, folks, this is the 21st century, and somebody is being told to go to another entrance because of the way that they look. Where's the love of Christ in it? And the irony is, he was actually a legal U.S. citizen. Granted, he was born somewhere else, and he came in, he went through the process, was a legal citizen. But they told him to go to another door. Where's the love of Christ in that? People say, send them all back. Don't matter who they are, send them all back. I hope that doesn't happen, because if it does that mean that my wife must go? My wife's not a U.S. citizen, she's a British citizen. She's not from around here. But she is legal, she's a resident alien. The point that I bring out here is that these are issues that affect real people. Issues over health care, work, housing, living conditions, they're no different than any other child of God. Now, there does need to be some equality here in how we deal with it. Because I can tell you, I mean, there are people that I know of that need to be here to be reunited with their families, but the red tape is so hard that they can't get here, while others are allowed to freely come and go. So there's got to be, yes, there is work that needs to be done in this area on that front, but the work that needs to be done on this front, the front of the church, is to show the love of Christ no matter who you are. Because I can tell you from experience and being in these places and having observed it, when a child tragically dies, it doesn't matter where they're from, people cry. And when humans are the victims of trafficking in the sex or slavery trade, injustices occur. And when a family is homeless or hungry, regardless of where they come from, the church has failed. Brothers and sisters, we must stand ready to share the love of Christ for all of God's creation and for all of God's people. How do you think that Jesus would be accepted today? Maybe in this country. With the presumption of his olive skin, and he definitely didn't act like us. And you think of his language and his accent. Would he be treated as a foreigner and sent back home? Would he be treated as a foreigner and sent back home, or would he be welcomed and loved? Hebrews 13:6 reminds us to never to miss that opportunity to entertain a stranger. And then over in Romans 12:9-13, we're called to be genuine in our love, to stand against what is evil, while we support what is good. I say to you this morning, let our conviction be for justice. Let our conviction be for justice. Let our action be in love. And let each of these things be in the name of the one who willingly gave his life that we would be redeemed of our sins and have hope of that bright future which we all desire. Grace and peace to each of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.